Duly noted.
And all the.
I have.
And all the three that are missing.
Marley and Nate and Mark are
all. They've all notified me, so excuse for all three of those.
Okay. Starting the
Memorial Day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. This Memorial Day. So.
See, there's another public comment by was there one public comment that I saw? Well,
there was one public comment by Roger Currier. That was two, and I passed up a copy of that. I sent it to you folks by email as well.
Yep.
That was sent to Mark Riggins. And Mark, he did to his email me telling him he would not make it today. His comment was basically he didn't think he didn't see anything on there to be addressed. Definitely his comment. Is there anybody else here who
questions
or comments about this question or comment?
I think with a lot of the issues that we've discussed, we could do a lot of what anything. You could put it almost every issue that we've discussed. And at some stage, I'm still convinced we're going to go with the best thing that we can come up with and see how it works. And if in fact it turns out it's a more of an issue or problem, you know, there's appropriate ways to react to it.
My apologies, it's starting to be about 10 minutes late. I'm having a problem mailing something out, so
okay. It
should be in order. So please don't wait for me.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
So that's kind of my view on that.
Okay. Okay. We also, I just let you know, I got an email from Mike Ragsdale. As you recall, he was here at the last meeting, and we talked about that we would be having joint meeting with different agencies to talk about the lead funding system. He has contacted Carol Meyer Reed. She is part of the, I believe, the contractor who's working on the weight finding system, part of the cultural discussion. And what he was trying to see is from an individual way they can work with their existing contract to actually work it as part of the whole. So she had him contact Kathy Fry, who works with that contractor. So they're going to have some more discussions about that. So hopefully they can work in that existing contract. That's the hope. And perhaps they also feel that way. Because we all talked about wanting to maybe hire somebody who has a lot of experience with this, and apparently this consultant does. So, anyways, this is just an update for that one. I think that's the only two public comments parts that I can address.
From developing your recommendations for City Council, is that something that you're looking for?
I'm sorry?
In your next item of business, the development of your recommendations for City Council consideration, I noticed that you gave us these umbrella.
You want to explain some of
them? Yeah, okay. Please.
Yes, that's
please.
Cool. That
Umbrella and Jack Stilley.
Right. So what you see in your packet, again, is just a lot of the same stuff, but we're going to make this into a complete recommendation package. One of the pieces that we talked about, that actually we were going to talk about last meeting, but we just did not get to it or forgot. I forgot to bring it up, so my mistake. But in the packet, meeting packet, you'll see what was basically in the other meeting packet. But a I started thinking about trying to give a lot more thought to it and how we can actually approach this. So, passed out to you, you'll see the pretty enrollable one there, staff handout. And what it talks about is basically, went online and I started looking at all the pictures about umbrellas, outdoor umbrellas, whatever. And in my mind, I basically came including them kind of basically two sort of categories. You see a lot of the ones with either kind of the first page of the handout where they just kind of hang in on that, what I call the front valence. And that's actually the term I looked up and prefer to find it. But yeah, there are, that is actually a lot of quality of the valence. Where they put the advertising available, so you see a couple pictures here in front, but that's probably put it. On the second page, you'll see where you have advertising that goes both on the valence as well as on the top. So it seemed to be a fairly way of categorizing two kinds of umbrellas, which we'll see. Staff felt when we were looking at that, that the one where it just puts it on the valence serve the purpose to do a little advertising, have a little more signage for the business, while not, it seemed like it was more aesthetically pleasing to us. So, came up with some language here. We could put this, you know, again, it would be like a portable sign, treated as a portable sign, and it would be putting it as you say, that the signage could be as limited as the outer edge of the umbrella. Covering, because at first I had fabric, but then I wanted to do something else, could be metal or something too. Covering from further center of the umbrella and must not exceed 12 inches in height. Now, what this means, exceed 12 inches in height. Now, we've got that number from, if you look where we talked about, I think it's in fact two, the last page of the meeting packet, as that was the part we showed this last meeting packet about our current code talking about awnings in the last meeting here. Did everybody see that? We didn't look at it last time. And so we just, that's where they also say the same thing where on the valence that you know, that you, the lowest part would be 12 inches of measurement. So
you we just took talking about these
parts
that are hanging down beyond the normal umbrella. You're not talking in
the valence stuff. Part, yeah. Okay. Well, that's why the language
balance.
Is written the way it
balance.
Okay, the balance.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes it consistent with the
but when the way I wrote it was intentional because some umbrellas do not have the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they can still write if they want to on the edge of it. Still be only 12 inches, first 12 inches. So either way, LO, I mean, it seems a little less effective doing that, obviously, when you're, most of it's going upwards. So the balance there is more effective because it's pretty long. You can see it better. So. But I wrote it so that they can use it either way.
I'm kind of confused, if I may interrupt for a moment, mm-hmm. why you would want to limit the kind of verbiage that, or the where the writing or where the imaging is on the umbrella at all. Why in your opinion is it different just to have it around the side and down on the top? You know, what comes to my mind is that you have vendors that are sponsoring the Pepsi and the Heineken and the owners of the umbrellas, the actual people have because of economy, only been able to do on the balance part.
Mm-hmm.
And I envision maybe stifling some artistic ability to being able to not only maybe get the free umbrella from a vendor, it's going to be limited now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there may be some people that want to put some kind of great imagery on that top, like maybe they want to put some kind of a cool artistic design of some nature. I don't know what that would be, but I can see those different things kind of being inhibited. And I have a hard time wondering why.
So again, I fully understand that this is an aesthetic value. And I stated that this is what we thought was a more attractive approach to doing that. But obviously that's an objective sort of thing. So we bring this to you as a recommendation and a suggestion. Take it or leave it or modify it however you like. But
you're showing two entirely different sets of umbrellas here. Mm-hmm. On the first page, you have store identification. It's just store identification.
Right, yeah.
On the second page, it's strictly advertising.
Right, yeah.
So there's two entirely different purposes for them.
Well, but that may, yeah. I mean, this is the best I could find actually going out through the net. In fact, I was, what turned me a little bit was I was trying to find these kind actually that had a setting next to a store or something. I was trying to make that a balanced look in that sense. But you're right, Sam. But these other ones were, the stores themselves were the other ones more of a product type of thing. So, but hopefully you get the concept of what I'm trying to do.
I think it goes along with what Dennis has stated. First of all, I'm not aware where I've personally seen umbrellas of businesses that have run a marker that I thought were unsightly. And so I don't personally have experience where I saw the sign and umbrellas being a problem. I like the option where a business can advertise on their umbrella. I'm also sensitive to the fact that there may be some who don't have the resources to do that kind of thing, but the advertisers are willing to donate, and you know that it still can be a benefit to the customer. And you know, because it is so subjective, I frankly don't find these kinds of umbrellas objectionable.
Yeah, I would be reluctant to use it. You know, if you're going to allow the umbrella, I would be concerned about what they put on them. And I know that we've got color codes and everything for our buildings and so forth, but I would have a hard time restricting it.
Well, I think it seems to me it might be maybe the choice is that you allow umbrellas of any advertising. You know, either there's this kind or umbrellas that there is no better. In other words, a solid one. Which actually was kind of funny because I wish I would take it. I meant to take a picture and I got sidetracked and ran away. But I don't think you've been downtown Tiger. There's a pub there just sitting there. They have this really big outdoor seating area. And they, it's a springtime, nice sunny day, went there. And they had all these umbrellas out there. And they were always really, they were large, about this size, covered a table, a round table, and they were really nice bright colors, and they were yellow and green and red. It was very festive. I liked it. I thought it was really quite attractive.
But then they had no idea.
But there was no advertising.
That goes to the personality of the business, and I would hate to try to regulate that. And that's kind of what I think is what's concerning me more than anything when we start saying you can put this verbiage in, or you can't do this, or you put it in this spot and that spot. Either you allow the umbrellas or you don't, and the personality of the business is going to dictate. I go back to my original thought and conversation about maintenance. You know, if it's tattered and torn and not looking right, someone needs to let them know. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be taken care of. We're allowing you to do these things. We really want your business to grow and be healthy. But you've got to play by the aesthetics of the community. And that, to me, is probably a bigger concern to me than what's written on the umbrella, that it's not faded and looking like it has been through a war. To me, that probably speaks more to being friendly to a business community and to the community itself. As you say, you saw all the bright colors, but 3 years of the bright colors were horrible. They're not made out of the right material and done well. So, it gets right back to a maintenance situation for me.
And I personally am not prepared to make a huge deal about this, but I feel like we're attempting to solve a problem that, as far as I know, doesn't really exist, or to avoid a problem that we're afraid will happen, and I don't really see either of those.
Well, currently, we've had problems with in the past with umbrellas, of course, is that we considered those to be temporary signs. So they put a lot of them out there and waste. what you're allowed to have. You know, I have one in a certain size too, so they would exceed it by size, they would exceed it by numbers and all that other stuff. So, you know, we could just leave it alone the way it is, but again, you know, the way the current code is written, they can only have one. Now, size. Now, we do allow, in the way the recommendations are right now, that, again, we can allow some extra signage and stuff under the sign permit that, that we've written up. So, so we could have some of that in there.
We could have signed, but could you exempt umbrellas for, how do I say this, certain types of endeavors? So you've got a certain type of business that kind of lends itself to a sidewalk cafe. If you're allowing a table out there, you're going to allow an umbrella to go with it. You know, obviously, if you don't allow a table, an umbrella is worthless, right? So maybe you tie that to something that, because I envision as the community changes from the highway plan out here that you're going to have some sidewalk cafes. You're going to want them to have tables and chairs and umbrellas out there. And I think you're going to find more and more of that. So maybe you tie it to you know, what people's, maybe the license in, the, in a restaurant is a little different than the license on a guy that has a retail store that doesn't have anything. But then again, if you got a bunch of kids that I see, I think of this child, children's store over here, maybe having a couple of tables and umbrellas out for the kids to play. I don't know. You know, your mind starts working on all the different possibilities, and it's really tough to limit that. But you don't have to tie it to a table or tie it to something else that makes sense with the application. And I keep thinking about that situation that you had out of Burgerville and the fact that, you know, they had these really decent umbrellas out there. The public was out there enjoying a nice summer day, and all of a sudden the city came along and said, you can't have those because they're signage. They ripped them all out, and now they, you know, the tables don't look nice. In my opinion, we defeated the whole purpose of what we were trying to accomplish there.
And to your point, I think in the vast majority of cases that I'm aware of, they have an umbrella because there's something going on under the umbrella,
right,
typically sitting down. Mm-hmm. And just as a kind of, it does give them an opportunity then, having served that purpose, to also advertise.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be in favor of exempting these from the temporary portable sign.
Sure, that's a different type of sign. Right.
It really is totally different to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you notice that the suggested language does talk about, says use as a covering of the seating, so we did address going to the here. I'm not quite sure my question would be, if you wanted to just exempt these from any kind of signage, the only question I have, and I mean, we do have a part of the sign code to talk about, if anything to sign, something you can read from the public right away. So I'm wondering how that would mesh together, whether that's going to be problematic or not.
Well, I think, yeah.
So that's the may or may not be an issue. I just don't know.
Well, I think it's unfortunate in the case that you cite with Burgerville, it was serving a good purpose. It gave people an opportunity to sit like on a nice day, someplace other than inside. But because it violated this sign code, you had to take them away. That's unfortunate.
And it wasn't in public right.
Well, that wasn't the issue. Or that's saying, I said, you know, read things from the public right. Considered a sign, and that's my concern. But if we just said it exempted, I don't know how that would work or if that would work.
Well, the code, the definition of a portable sign now includes umbrellas.
Right.
But you could also include in the code an exemption like we do for vehicles.
Does it specifically say that umbrellas are being portable signs?
Yeah, so they're listed as
a portable sign. Okay.
Umbrellas, balloons, flags.
Okay.
But there's an exemption for vehicles if the sign is attached to a vehicle. It's licensed. It's not considered a sign. So you can put in language, but it's not. is considered a sign by that.
But I was just saying, but do we have things worth it that are actually signage or we remove them from sign code? That's what I think they're asking for. But correct. If that's correct, then I'm wondering if that's going to create a problem. What?
I don't think so, but...
Or do we have anything like that at all at this point? Doesn't mean you can't do it, I'm just wondering if
there's
that's accepted at this point.
Besides vehicles, no.
But they have to move or something, right? Is that what it is? Or what's the vehicle thing?
Oh, yeah, so a sign that's attached to a vehicle, permanently attached, it's licensed for movement on public streets.
Okay,
that's not considered a portable
sign. Because it moves around a lot, and so that's a little different.
That won't affect too many umbrellas.
Yeah, they don't move a lot. Well, I guess you get a really bad wind.
The idea, though,
that they're
then
they move a lot.
Not to beat a dead horse, but it seems to me that umbrellas are put out there primarily for a different purpose.
Convenience.
And just water. Yeah, for me, convenience of what's going on in the place, and just coincidentally, it's used somewhat for advertising. It isn't primarily for advertising, it's to give people shade, of course, it's said for whatever the purpose is. And for that reason, I would give serious thought to at least find an exemption where they're allowed to do that, rather than having a situation like Burgerville, where they had what was really a good thing for their customer, and because of the rule, they had to take it away. I think that, unfortunately.
Well, we can, if it's the desire of the committee, we can just have to check. But if your desire is to exempt umbrellas from the sign code, umbrellas, we'll say specifically umbrellas that cover an outdoor seating area.
Right.
Okay, that way it's specific to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We could check that out and make sure that
if there are other things.
See, there's not, as long as there's not. So a new reason we can't do it, then but I can check that out and come back to you if that's what the desire of the committee.
I think it's worth doing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something to look into. I'm still, kind of on both sides. I don't know that I fully agree, I could go either way at this point, because I do agree that, these umbrellas look better, certainly. But, if I'm eating outside, I gotta sit under this umbrella than nothing. If that's all the, little food cart can afford, well, okay, that's great. I'm happy to support the little food cart because I like those kind of things.
Again, we're just trying to balance what the purpose of this committee is.
Right.
It's aesthetics, functionality,
right.
Advertising, it's all these things we need to look at.
Yeah.
So, we will look into that, make sure that we can do that. So we'll come back to you.
So next thing is you have this deal with Jack's Deli.
Yeah, the next piece was the Jack's Deli. Of course, this is what we wanted to do was just kind of give you a couple test cases on what we've been pursuing in the language department. And actually, well, let's start just. Let's start with the back of the umbrella one. There's this is the last page. Again, back to the language we've been doing, the sign permit plan for him. And so I wanted to refine a little bit about numbers in the sign program. So what you'll see there is the double underline stuff is some language we added to what was in your packet because we gave staff was giving it further thought. And so, so the first one on number three, the number, first line, the properties we list following zones and they allow following the number of signs. And so all that's saying is it's asking for properties. That was not really stated in your language. You're saying C2 also. It's just clarifying itself about the property. But the second one, and I'll get to the second underline in a second, so let's hold for that for a second. So what we're trying to do with the pictures you got here was just to give you some concepts of some test cases. We've all talked about Jack's many, many times. So in the case of the language for the sign permit program, it's based on street frontage, and that's a downtown one. So you'd be allowed one for 15 feet of street frontage with a lot of four. Now Jack's Deli here, as you can see, has 94 feet of street frontage. So on that, from one look, you could say, well, I can have six because it
one on four. So they still have four. They have four now. So they can keep their four, actually, in the case of Jack's Deli. So that's example number one. Next example, this is another one we talk a lot about. You know, we talk about having a, sometimes you might have a deep, skinny lot. And the one we talked about here was this vintage square one. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
And so we're looking at this one. So you can see the frontage on this one is 112 feet. Now, here you're allowed to have one per 100, huh? That's E2. That's E2. And according to the language we have, if you look on the sign language here, you allow to have one per 100 feet of street frontage. But in this case, we also say in the language, remember we wrote up, that at least one business, one sign allowed per business is allowed. Now, in this case, this is the deep skin lot, there's like six businesses here on this lot. But when you go to the language that we wrote up about how big it can be, it's 1 square foot for 1 foot of street frontage. So in this case, instead of 112, they could have 112 square feet of height. That's height. Now, the existing sign now, they have kind of a little sign program. You can see it right there, right in front of you. They have one sign where they've got five different flats, and they can take them in and out of the business is changing all. And that works just fine. But theoretically, they could, somebody on the sign program, they could, if they did it nicely, in a very attractive way, a sign program, they could put six little signs out there.
It's limited now. You're proposing that that could happen.
Well, if we have, I'm just saying under the proposal we have for the sign permit program, because we're saying that at least one per business is allowed, one that has a business license and occupies a green space, which is true here, you could end up with six little signs. Now, if they did it in a nice, cute way, it might be okay. But just be aware that the way we've written this up, it's possible that it could happen. Or they could just, I would think probably most of businesses would do it a lot like this, though. They have one large sign, and they just have little slats that go in and out. But they could have a bunch of little signs. It might be like a mini berm shape there. Who knows? But it's possible. So just be aware. But, you know, again, these are test cases, and these are kind of the extreme cases. We're trying to.
Yeah. How much inventory of land or property do you have that have this kind of a lump?
Probably very few. I mean, you know, again, this is extreme. There's not a lot there. It's getting like
yeah. I think we thought of maybe three that were like this, but we want to make sure the committee can sort of visualize this because what works well for most things, sometimes in those extreme cases, you get a result converted.
Yeah.
So
that's.
I got it. I understand.
So that's, I mean, that's what we always do. Like we say, code is one of the hardest things in the world to write. Good code, because you got to look for all examples, all scenarios, and all that. You know, and you do the best you can. Inevitably, some will pop up. But we try the best we can. So that's example number two. Example number three turned out to be quite interesting. The Newburgh Ford one. This is kind of a large lot that we're talking about. And what turned out to be very interesting on this one is it actually ends up, it has five different lots it's composed of. Very interesting, right? Kind of strange. It has these real deep, skinny ones, super steep, deep and skinny ones. So, but in this case, you could have, there's 553 feet of street frontage. So they could have a total of five signs. Now, if you go back to the language, the proposed language on the other handout, this is where I want to go back to this. And this is why we wrote up this language. It says, he said, a site development, this will be in this case, a site development of a single use, i.e., parcels, with continuous multiple lots. So you have one under one ownership. They all own one, and it's single use, but it's a multiple lot. Please. Yeah, under one ownership,
got these, basically, these really skinny ones. And I can see where, like, the really the far left ones could ease. You know, most of it, half of it's just access. So there could be a point where, you know, like, one of these skinny ones, all it is access. And something else. You can't put a sign here. You can't have a car running over it. So we would allow, so we could allow them to move some, the five signs that they have around where it fits on the lot and looks good. Again, that's the whole point of the sign part of the curb, something that looks decent. So in this case, they'd be allowed to have, you know, four more portable signs than they normally would because they're only allowed one. Well, I guess I take that back because you got five lines. Well, they actually, in this case, they're allowed about the same amount of signs. But they'll be able to place them how best they want to. But let's just say there wasn't. This was all one lot. Then they would be allowed four more signs than they normally would be allowed. But that language allows them to kind of move it around. Gives them flexibility. And it allows them to get, I think what we're all saying is, you know, a larger, big lot like this should be allowed to have more signage. And this would allow that to happen.
David, could you tell me, do you know how common is this? For, I know, I realize this is a big lot, but to have one owner on multiple lots like that?
Well, I don't think it's very common. In fact, it surprised us. We haven't been this way. I don't think it's very common at all. But there are cases where this might happen.
Okay.
And so this I think this allows that to happen and still flexibility.
It happened as a complexion of the town changes. For example, George Fox is one large entity over there. But if you look at a plot map of that area, there are dozens and dozens of properties that are underneath that layer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Fox would be a really good example of that because you're going to have a lot of properties they're all going to be next to each other, they're all in single ownership, and so that would give you a lot more flexibility.
The lot line disappears, the streets disappear.
Sure.
In a 15-year period, we purchased 67 parcels of land surrounding a contiguous campus. And expanded. So there are, if you look at the overall plot plans of the city, you'll find a lot of little plots underneath baseball diamonds and parking lots and so on. And streets that used to be there. And that can
if I were to guess, this 228-foot, those are easements for traffic.
That was our guess. It was probably some kind of easement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because these didn't look that way in like the mid '80s. These were actually a lot longer. These were larger lots and everything. So they must have. We didn't get into the streets that take a long time, but yeah, they must have done this for some reason. And if you're right, I think it looks more some kind of easement of some sort, whether it's an access easement or something.
They were going to break up the property. They had to have a way to get back.
And it may have been an easement originally that when the larger lot was purchased, the easement was purchased too, because an easement is not used for the purchase. It's a long term lease.
But back in the day, it looked like the mid 80s, there were much larger lots without these big easements.
Yeah, usually you don't see the easements as separate lots. You know, they'd be there, but they'd be invisible on this kind of map. You wouldn't know it.
But there are several 4-foot wide lots in town. I know what I thought.
So we just wanted to do these test cases, but it was really good that we did. I think it was explanatory. It was nice to see this. So I think we were able to accommodate downtown stuff you've seen. We can accommodate some of these little kind of different cases of the deep skinny lots, and of course the big lots works well too. So. Just hopefully that's
The intent on the language for like the Ford dealer site was just to be able to say they're not required to have a sign on one to any specific lot. They can take your whole frontage and place the signs where they want based on that whole frontage.
Right.
So nobody interprets it and say, no, one there, one there, one there.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because, you know, I'm in the field. I'm sure the Ford. I'm I'm sure there's probably like one, maybe John for Canada knows where his property lines are. Probably no one working at the Ford dealer who's posting the sign knows that there are these property lines. They just look at it as one ownership.
Dave, if we're saying that the Ford dealer, because of the five lots, has signs equal to five lots that he can put any place, and for the purpose of the discussion, across the street, the Dodge dealer was there, and he had one lot that was the same frontage, but he only had one lot. What would that do?
There would
be no difference.
No.
Yeah,
he's saying it's all based on frontage.
Yeah, he's still
saying it's based on frontage. Regardless of that, you have a maximum of five signs you put on, regardless of how long your frontage is there. And he meets the criteria for five signs because he has that same length. What they're trying to say is that if they're different lot lines, they're not restricted to having those five signs in one lot. They could do it on the other. The frontage is acceptable.
Yeah, they could place the signs in a more logical place as opposed to like right in the middle of that access.
Would it be helpful rather than talk about the lot lines to say if you've got 400 foot of frontage, you can put X amount of signs?
They've done that here.
That's already in the other language. This is just to clear for
used to be
again, kind of strange
one.
Cases.
Now they're saying they can have up to five.
For
every 15 feet of frontage you have, you only have one sign. I read it. Well, there are five maps. Is that what I read?
Four.
Four. There's a maximum of four downtown in CZ.
Right. They were by street frontage again. They could have six, but since there's a maximum of four, anything downtown.
What zone?
Which is fine.
What zone would the garage be on? What zone would?
With the Ford dealership?
Yeah.
That's C2 as well. Yeah.
And so, is there a number limit on the signs in the C2 zone?
C2 only for the downtown. Because we were concerned that there were going to be too many.
Because in C2 is one per 100 feet, so they're not required to space them at 100 feet.
Right.
But that's still, with 500 or 600 feet of frontage, you're still only going to have so many signs.
That basically is my question.
Right. Yeah.
But right now, under the current code, since it's one per frontage, that Dodge dealer would get one. And frankly, the Ford dealer is actually able to have five because they have five lots. But it'd be one per lot, they have to place them in sort of odd positions, which is, doesn't make any sense.
So the way I do this right now, unless there's any other real issues we need to deal with, staff will go back and talk about the umbrellas and get back to you on that at the next meeting. But unless there's some other issues we need to explore at this point, come back in with the final language at the next meeting. And if you're done with exploring other issues, then we could be done with committee at this point.
One other question. You walk away from the garage sale signs because
The committee just thought, I'll let the committee answer that question.
Yeah, we got in the packet from last month with the information from Dallas. We came to realize that their permit program was not just a sign permit program, but a garage sale permit. And so the sign was part of this whole garage sale, and you could sign up for this thing. And we thought, well, that's more than we're prepared to take on. And then just the logistics of actually getting a sign, they'd have to be here at the front desk, and so we have to store them here somewhere, and the timing of when to get it, when to pick it up, and the time that it would take to develop the program and pass them out and return them, we thought, that sounds like more hassle than it's really worth. It was kind of a neat idea, but it's just not really something that's quite going to apply to us.
And I would say, since that meeting, I haven't necessarily changed my mind, but I did have the opportunity to talk with Roger Jordan. That's what was the city manager in Dallas when this program was instituted. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very high on it. So I guess my only recommendation at this point is perhaps it can be done separate from what we're attempting to do here. But it sounds to me, at least based on conversation with him, he was very high on it. He obviously was the one who...
He instigated also Sandy Oregon. Similar program.
Right.
And I had a nice conversation with
intent was.
About that.
It still doesn't resolve the issues for us. Where do we get the money? I think he said it cost about $3,000 for them to make those signs that they used. But they were very durable. They lasted. The people responded to them. The people bought into the program. They did have a way that they figured out for distributing them, you know, having somebody in charge of those. And in our current situation with our limited staff, that may not be something we want to tackle right now. But I think it is worthwhile at some stage, probably outside this committee, to pursue that, the possibility of instituting that kind of program. We don't have to slow down what we've done for including that, but it does seem worthwhile based on recent conversations I've had with Roger, who was, you know, made it work in both Sandy and Dallas.
So are you saying, Dave, that you feel like we should disband at this point?
Well, I would say we might want to have, this could be our last meeting if you're comfortable with that, although we could, the only thing that's left really is the umbrella question, and get back to you on the internet if you want more. We can just have one more meeting. But that could be a very short meeting. It's just we'll have everything all in one packet. You'll see everything. And we've talked to you about the umbrella thing. It could be a very short meeting, probably. Prefer not to meet again. We can, just tell you what happens with the umbrella question over the web and see if anybody wants to go with it one more time. We've got what you're recommending right now, so ours is only to confirm that that's okay to pursue that recommendation. We can get back to you on that just by through the internet, through emails, and then go forth from there. So it's up to the committee if you want to say that's good enough, or if you plan on if you need to have one more meeting.
I'm thinking, I know you can't guarantee attendance or anything, but it would be nice to have a larger group and have one final discussion check-in and see what other folks think about You know, just sort of one last wrap-up, which I realize, you know, might end up with this many people again, but I would prefer one last meeting.
So are you thinking maybe you put the complete package together for us, David?
Basically, what you have here, we'll let you change
kind of most things. Maybe you have another package to sit down and take a look at the first, make sure it's written the way we feel comfortable, and have another meeting to ratify it and confirm that we want you to go to City Council with it. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, just basically just kind of clean this up a little bit and come back to you with the final survey. That's what the committee is agreeing to.
Where are we with wayfinding signs then?
As I said,
what happens with that? Is that something that you're just going to change and put into a whole different committee?
That's going to be a whole other committee, we're having discussions as well. I told you what Mike Ragsdale was talking about. He's trying to see if the current contractor, the cultural district contract, is maybe see if they can work that effort into their current contract. If not, then we'll have to figure out another way to get all these groups together. Mike's already said, though, he's willing to facilitate the effort. Facilitation is different than hosting. You've got to host it, you can take meeting minutes, all this, so there may be something else that those five groups take on the task of organizing everything. But yeah, that's going to be another person. Yeah.
It seems logical to me that Mike's organization, as well as Chamber of Commerce, are very well suited to address that issue, and they're going to be actively involved in it.
Well, any of the groups, I think. We got CPRD, City, Cultural District, NDC.
Right.
So at least four.
We don't necessarily need this.
So there's, we'll get them together and we'll figure that out. But yeah, that's going to be separate.
Well, I sent Mike the vision of what wayfinding signs should look like.
I did like that idea.
That's the wayfinding signs in Panzano, Italy. It's under a quarter, you go, which way is which?
Yes. No signs in Italy.
They're horrible.
That's what you get when you have
the
main sign. I get confused. Just show me the way to get to the center of town and start over.
Yeah.
Well, that's where they have the outskirts, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So,
So we'll have one more meeting, so we'll be sure we're on just kind of wrap up. Huh? June 4th, next meeting, right?
Well, maybe if we advertise it as the final meeting, too, it'll help turn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are you anticipating then having all the documents to us prior to that meeting so we can kind of...
Yeah, oh yeah, just be like regular meeting. This is going to be a real meeting, yeah. We'll send it out to you.
The semi-final draft.
Yeah, it's going to be just kind of like close to this, but it'll be just a little cleaned up.
Hopefully.
You know, when we go to council, it'll probably be more in code of language and stuff like that. But, you know, but the gist of this meeting is already here. The substantive part is already here.
Just kind of estimated time for when would it come to council?
Probably a couple months after, a couple months after our last meeting.
Okay.
We have at least a 3-week lead time just to get it in. So I would say it'd be a couple months. So it'd probably be